it's Angela Stevens, and I'm the podcast host with Refocus with Angela. And I am just so bursting with excitement to let you know about our guest today, because we have spent the last hour talking about everything he's been working on, and it's so exciting. And I know his product in and out, and I'm going to introduce more of you. But our guest today is Peter Freer. If you've ever heard of him, he is with Play Attention. He's the founder and CEO of Play Attention. And you might have seen him on a webinar with Attitude Mag, or you might have seen him maybe in his product, but he's so technology. When you talk about technology, I just want you to know that Peter Freer is behind that word, because he's got so much experience working with some of the most famous people in technology today that it would blow your mind. So first of all, Peter, thank you so much for joining our podcast today. I graciously appreciate that.
I'm delighted to be here.
Awesome. So this, I'm going to go into what you guys do in a minute, but let's just give our audience just a little clips. So I have attended personally many of the Play Attention webinars, and they have a process that I'm going to let him explain to you, but it helps people focus, whether you have ADHD or not. It's for people that are older, people that are younger, professionals, and I'm going to let him talk to you more about that in a minute. But in terms of cognitive skills today, Peter, you know, you own this company, but I want to know about you first of all. So if you're having one of those days, how do you focus the night before or in the morning? Give us your take and your tips on that.
Well, you know, when we are faced with challenges for the next day, let's say that I have to attend a conference, or I have to do a podcast, or I have to do a TED talk or something like that, I have to, in my mind, be relaxed and ready. So a lot of times I'll write down before I go to bed, I'll write down what I need to do for tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'll write it down just in a bedside book. And this is handy. I don't know if Refocus has these yet, but they should have them.
Well, because I'm just going to interrupt you right there, because we have some of the most famous, and I'll send you one of the most famous to-do list legal pads that they are amazing. But this month, I didn't even tell you this, Peter, we are launching 3 new products, and they're called Refocus on the Go. So if you think about it, when you're on the go and you're on the go and you can't find that piece of paper, or you're writing on an envelope, they are our new notebooks that are spiral bound with bolded lines. And we've got magnet pads too. So check those out at time, the number 2 Refocus, but go ahead, Peter, cause I'm going to send those your way as well.
Perfect. Because if I list it out the night before, then I don't think about it during sleep. Because this is one of the biggest problems I found with sleep for me, is that if I don't take care of everything during the day, if I don't pay enough attention to it during the day, then I think about it all night. And I get up feeling that I haven't slept at all. I've worked all night. And I know probably a lot of your listeners are in that same boat, that we have dreams about what we're supposed to be doing. We have dreams related, and sometimes they make sense, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you just get in a frustrating loop of dreams. But by clearing my mind of all of it, writing it down so that it's somewhere, but it's not in my mind, it helps me get a full night's rest. So my batteries for the following day, fully recharged, ready to go, and definitely refocused. That's one of the most critical things I think I've learned over many years, is that sleep is so critical, number 1, to our being able to focus during the day, and to have good, what we call sleep hygiene, getting ready for bed, getting ready to get my mind ready for sleep. And we take that for granted, because as children, we plop down and our batteries are gone, we fall asleep. But as we get older, the brain does a lot more work, and it works. And even though we think that the brain is, you know, totally at rest at night, the brain is actually working as hard or harder than when we are awake. When you are asleep, it's doing a cleanup process. It's helping retain memory at that time. And if we are burdening it with more thoughts about what we're supposed to be doing the next day, worries and that kind of thing, I don't have good sleep hygiene and I don't have good sleep. So we make certain, that's one of the things I make certain of. And that's what really helps me get ready for the next day. If I have that kind of preparation, sleep, what we call sleep hygiene, then the next day for me is a lot better. It helps me, no matter, even if it's just being in meetings with office staff or other OEM that I'm working with, something like that. It just helps me be in the moment. That makes sense.
Yeah. I have two questions on that though. So when you do that, do you make a to-do list for the next morning, or do you put just your thoughts of like things that are in your mind? Or do you do both?
I do both, actually. I really want to get everything out so that I'm not trying to process it while I'm sleeping. I want it there so that I can confront it or work with it, manage it the following day. And also, you know, having that book there, to be honest with you, is great for having new ideas. When they pop in your head, you can quickly jot them down, because and I'll give you a really good story behind this. I now have what we discussed. I created a headrest using Neurotech. And the headrest is like the headrest in your car, and it doesn't touch your head at all, right? There are very few people that drive with their head back on their headrest. Right. But so it from about 10 or 11 inches away, it will read what your brain is doing. So if you're getting tired, the car can say, Angela, you're really too tired. Let's recharge your batteries before you go any further. If you are stressed, the car can say, Angela, would you like me to reroute your drive for you? Can I change the air temperature for you? Can I change your seating position so you're not so stressed? Can I play some soothing music? So you have kind of an avatar in there that works through the headrest, because we know all of this about what your mental state is. Now, where did this come from? Well, I had created body-based Neurotech. That's in Play Attention, which is so cool because you put an armband on your arm and you can control the screen by mind alone. Mm-hmm. But when I brought it to Detroit to talk to the automakers, they go, well, we can't guarantee anybody's going to wear a wristband or an armband. And I said, yeah, you're right. So I thought about how I could do it. And I just so happened to be watching a movie called Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. And that's about her looking for extraterrestrial life in using a series of arrays, radio telescopes. Those are the big dish telescopes you often see pictures of. And they can look at astral phenomena that are billions of light years away. Mm. And they can hear it, see it, and decipher what is happening there, whether they're looking at a pulsar or a quasar or something like that.
Wow.
And I went to sleep with that. After watching, that's probably the 20th time I watched that movie. I love the movie. It was written by astronomer Carl Sagan. So the book was years ago, and they made a movie out of that. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I shake my wife awake and I say, hey, I know how to do this without contact. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, never mind. Go back to bed. And I ran downstairs to my office and I started typing up the patent for it. And wow. Now it's real. So it came from a dream and now it's real. It's something we work with over 14 auto manufacturers on right now to work on alerting you when you are in a brain state that's not good for driving, overly stressed, sleepy, distracted, your cognitive load may be too heavy. Cognitive load is interesting because when you're trying to talk on your cell phone or text on your cell phone and drive, you are more dangerous than a drunk driver. So mm-hmm. We should never be doing that, although we often people do it. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very dangerous to do. So the car can actually tell you it's too dangerous for you to drive like this. Stay alert, stay focused, kind of thing. And that's what we're doing. And on top of that, when you stop, and let's say that you're waiting for your better half to come out of the grocery store and you're in the car, you've answered all your emails, and you go, I should practice mindfulness. We even have apps that will allow you to control the console of your car by mind alone to learn how to be mindful. We discussed the Da Vinci's Candle app, where we have a candle on the screen in Da Vinci's lab. And you can, when you engage with it and you're mindful, you can raise the flame of the candle, right? And then you are in perfect control of it. If you lose your mindfulness to it, the flame diminishes. So you actually have this real time way to examine mindfulness and develop mindfulness in yourself, because you know the practice is too hard. If you don't have feedback, if I'm not in a feedback loop by seeing the candle grow and seeing it diminish, I lose mindfulness within a minute or less. I'll start being mindful, and then I'll start thinking about what I'm having for dinner, what bills I'm paying tomorrow, what meetings I'm having tomorrow. So this actually helps with that as well. And a lot of the car manufacturers are incredibly interested in having health and wellness apps as well as safety apps.
Wow. So stay tuned. That's really, really exciting because that's, we all need that. I want to go back to a comment you made earlier. You said that sometimes we worry, right? So just in practical reasoning right now for any individuals, there's a lot, people going through a lot of anxiety right now. So if they go to bed with worry, what's the best way to handle that? Because especially if you're a single mom and you don't know how you're going to pay the rent or something, what is the best way that you can get that good night's sleep without with the worry that some practical things they could do today?
Practical things. Worry involves raising a bit of fear, doesn't it? Every time that we begin to worry, our sense of fear grows. And we are, after a major pandemic, we are probably the most fearful and anxious we have been ever in our lives. And it's still carrying today. Even though the pandemic's generally over, COVID's still out there, but we've got it under control. We are still very anxious and we are very worried.
Yeah.
So the question is how are fear and worried kind of related, right? Because the more I worry, the greater my fear. They're very, very connected, correlated. And so typically and everyone knows who Mike Tyson is. This is one of my favorite sayings. Mm-hmm. Mike was an incredible fighter. As a matter of fact, he's going to refight here again at age 65 and make himself a fortune. But he had a great coach. The coach's name was Cus D'Amato, old geezer, rough as a cob. But Cus used to tell him, he said, fear is like electricity. It can either bake your bread or it can burn your house down. It depends on how you use it. And so when you understand that's the way the brain works, the brain does it, it has this feature in it that alerts you. There's a whole mechanism in the brain on why, you worry. And you're actually, my grandmother taught me how to worry. My mother taught me how to worry. I remember their worry. And my grandmother was a devout Catholic, so she would have her rosary in her hand and she would be rubbing those beads and sitting in a rocking chair, and that was how she overcame her worry. To me, I reframe it. If I understand that it can either bake my bread or burn my house down, I realize that it serves no purpose for me to be worried. It is not going to change the outcome.
Right.
So I understand that deeply. Worry as you may, it will not change the outcome. Then I am able to simply be at peace when I understand that. But if I involve myself, if I feed it energy, if I feed the fear, the worry, if I give it energy, it just makes it grow. Just like that candle flame that we talked about.
Yeah. And, sometimes when you worry, half the things that we worry about don't happen.
That's right. More than half, right? And that's also being mindful means you're existing in the moment. Mm-hmm. And when what we realize now is that one third of our life is only spent in the moment. A third of our life is spent in the past, and a third of our life is spent in the future. So we actually live either in the past, which is worry, right? Or the future, which is worry, where I can worry about what happened, or I'm worrying about what's going to happen. Or I can be in the moment enjoying my family, enjoying the people I love around me, enjoying all those people that support and I work with and good people like you where we can have a meeting like this.
Yeah.
This is being in the moment, and this is what we need to be able to focus on. So understanding the mechanism of worry and understanding how limiting it is really helps you unravel that very quickly. Yeah. If I understand that deeply, it's not going to change the outcome. I will face the outcome, and there is no fear at that point. I will face the outcome, and we will get through it.
Exactly.
And as business people, we understand this as well.
Oh my goodness! Especially
so much to be.
I have a joke. I have three businesses, and I was telling somebody the other day. I go, when do I get to pay myself? Right. Right. Because we take all of our money and the business comes first. It's our child. Right. I mean, we take it over and there's some sleepless nights, especially if you're working on deals going through. and you don't know if they're going to go and you've invested so much, you've got to have some thick skin, and it's not easy. So yeah, I get it. That's amazing. Well, you have, by the way, you have a product right now with your company called Play Attention. And I want to talk to you. I want to make you an offer right now. I want to do this before I forget. So I would love to have you come back and actually do a demonstration of what Play Attention does. Because when we say it's an armband, it's kind of hard for people to understand that. So I think I'd love to reschedule you on that part and have you show us. But because we don't have that going right now, tell us right now, tell our audience what that is so that if they want to check it out now, they can look at it.
Yeah, they can see it at playattention.com. And you can have a little, there are short videos there that show you how it works. But the key to it is that we can see what the brain looks like when it is focused. You know, and Play Attention was studied by Tufts University School of Medicine, funded by the U.S. Department of Education, and they brought it into the Boston area public schools. And they did three trials with it, a short-term, long-term, and then they follow-up trial. And these were randomized controlled studies. In that, they tested us against brain training games that you can get online, you know, because they told me, we don't think that the neuro component, the armband, is of any real function. It might be more expensive to use it. I said, well, how do you know how engaged students are to these just apps that you use on a computer or phone? How do you know? And they couldn't answer me. I said, well, can anyone here tell me what attention is? And I'm sitting in an office with 12 to 14 neuropsychologists, neuropsychiatrists, pediatricians, MDs, neurologists, because they wanted a full, you know, cadre of folk there. And I said, who can tell me what it is? And don't use a simile, right? Don't use a synonym. And they said, it's focus. And I said, well, you're just using a synonym. I want to know what it is in the brain. And they couldn't answer. And I said, what if I could show you in real time what your brain looked like when it was paying attention? And you could actually control a character on the screen by doing that. It makes it real. To reify, to take something abstract and to make it real, is critical so that we learn what real attention is and then how to control it, how to sustain it at will. And so that is also key. But I think the other part was, with that, we actually teach that series of cognitive skills you talked about.
Yeah.
That are called executive function. And that was the primary focus here, to be able to teach skills that were weakened, like planning, organization, starting task initiation, starting tasks, finishing tasks, my impulsivity, my emotional regulation. So all of those are embedded in Play Attention, and we teach them through the use of the armband to allow you to control those apps by your mind alone. So the outcomes, by the way, from the Tufts studies were phenomenal, and they're published in three medical journals, as opposed to our counterparts that were got no intervention in the group that got the brain games. We were five times more effective in training executive function.
Wow.
And we were four times more effective in training attention.
Yeah.
We were five times in the global index of behavioral control. So it was way further ahead than simple brain games. As a matter of fact, the research that came out showed they got no improvement whatsoever. Neither of the two control groups had any improvement in any of those fields whatsoever. And indeed, one of the most telling aspects about it was that at the end of the studies, the Play Attention students were either off medication or required no increase in medication, as opposed to the two controls who required an average of 8 to 13 milligrams increase in Ritalin just to stay in school. So that's a huge difference when you're actually able to train your brain to be able to learn these skills that you need, mm-hmm. and not require medication to be able to control it. That's a significant and telling fact and report from the study. The last thing is they went back 6 months later after everything stopped and made certain the kids had no intervention at all in the schools. And they tested them once again. The same thing happened. We maintained what was done, right? Mm-hmm. Because they trained themselves to do it. And the other two who scored nothing, still scored nothing. So it was pretty phenomenal when you look at those data. And those, again, it's all published in peer-reviewed medical journals.
Right.
So it's a phenomenal thing to be able to do that.
And Peter has been on, by the way, he's been appeared on Good Morning America, NBC News, Time Magazine, Popular Science, Delta Sky. He's been all over the place. He's even worked with people from NASA. It's just so impressive. And we're going to do an episode where we show you what it is. But basically, really quick, anyone can go to your website, right, and purchase this. And they, you send them, this is for executives. It's for older people. And it's just like a computer system that you do. It's just so amazing. And you have, we'll list some of your webinars, but we'll list your website and then we'll schedule that. But it's really amazing. And I am a perfect testimony that I can say is that even just watching their webinars, it makes you think differently. And that way we're pushing our brain to think differently. And that's what's going to keep our brain sharp, right? Would you agree with that?
I would. You know, challenge, there are three critical factors in how we develop as human beings, how we learn. One of them is I have to have enough of your attention. If I don't have enough of your attention, you're not going to learn anything, right?
Right.
That's
right.
Why we always want that. That's one. The second one is challenge. If I tell you something you already know, it simply elicits your memory. You go, oh, yeah, I know that. But if I push you to the edge of what you know or what you can do, then the brain goes, how do I get to keep that? How can I retain that? Because if it's something that I'm really interested in and I can teach it like that, then the brain challenge will force the brain to rewire. And then the final thing about that is in order for the brain to rewire fully, we have to provide practice, what we call deliberate practice, not just rehearsal over and over again, but deliberate practice with little goals in it so that I can actually create the internal mechanism in the brain. We actually know how that works, by the way. That's called the Krebs cycle in the brain, the cyclic AMP response elements and binding proteins. And they're kin that cause the brain to rewire. Because the brain's very plastic and not the hard plastic like on your computer laptop case or something. It's moldable, kind of shapeable. We call it neuroplasticity. So we know that the critical catalyst to do that, one of those critical catalysts is challenge, push. Push that brain to where it's going to have to accept the new information, learn how to file it, learn how to use it. And that kind of helps us stay young. So even if I'm, you know, 12, 20, 80, 100, I can still cause my brain to rewire and still learn.
I love that. I love that. Peter, I could talk to you all day long. You've got so much going on. First of all, tell our audience, where can they find you?
They can locate me through the Play Attention website. And also for those things that are outside of Play Attention, you can see it on freerlogic.com as mm-hmm. well. And you'll see some of the new things that are pretty cool mm-hmm. That we're working on in automotive and other areas of life that are much different than just the ADHD realm. Play Attention is primarily for ADHD, autism, traumatic brain injury, PTSD, things like that. Yeah. And then everything outside that, we typically deal with in Freer Logic. And you can find me at those websites.
And Play Attention is playattention.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, wonderful. I'm telling you, if you do anything else today, I'm telling you, go to the website and just go. You just, there's videos on, you'll be amazed at what he does. I'm such a fan. So mainly because I've seen him for so many years, I feel like I've met a celebrity because I've learned so much. But Peter, I have one last question that I ask everybody on this website or on this podcast, not website. We're talking about websites on this podcast, but you know, we're all human. Right. And we all, and even though you have all of these great ideas and directions and products that work, we're all still human. Right. And so you've got to have some of those days where you're just off. You're not, you can sleep well, you're just not focused or whatever that is. But let's say you have to go to a meeting or you have to go speak. You know, when you get in your car and you're going there, what is the name or the song or the artist or the genre that you listen to that gives you game on?
I think, well, for game on, I really enjoy just being relaxed and in the moment. So I love Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven, and especially by Horowitz, just because if I can zone in on that music, if I can give it my heart and listen with heart and mind together, I am in such a relaxed, responsive place mentally that I can just be, it's a flow state for me.
Yeah.
And it really just calms me. Just thinking about it right now, I can hear my voice even calm. It is just a sense, and it's elicited entirely by the music. Some people really like to, you know, if I had a more highly energetic kind of personality, I might go for something, you know, a lot stronger. You know?
Like me, right? Because I'm hyper. Right.
Like you, highly energetic. You would probably listen to Metallica or something like that.
Yeah.
But for me, one of the things that I so enjoy is just being in a flow state and relaxed. And so typically I will take that music because it helps me to do it. And even at night, you know, part of my sleep hygiene, if my wife has a piano and I'll ask her to play and she'll play Moonlight Sonata for me.
Okay, that is so lovely. Did you hear that, audience? He asks his wife to play the piano. My mother is a pianist, and that is so lovely that, first of all, that you like her playing and that you also celebrate it. I think that's so lovely. So that's,
I feel fortunate, to be honest with you.
There you go. They're awesome. That's wonderful. Yes. Well, like I said, I could talk to you all day long, but first of all, Peter Freer, Play Attention, Freer Logic. He is so dynamic. Check him out. We are also going to have him on our careers podcast. So check that out at refocuscareers.com/podcast. And we'll talk more with you. But again, we're going to have him back and we're going to go through a little process of his Play Attention products. So you can see it. And that way you can learn more about it. But Peter, thank you so much for doing this. It's been such a pleasure. And I just feel so blessed to have met you.
Thank you, Angela. It's been a pleasure being here. It's so much fun.
Have you ever felt that you're traveling alone in a long and winding road without clear direction and guidance? ADHD, executive dysfunction, memory deficits, and impulsive behaviors pose even greater obstacles along that winding road. Play Attention provides clear direction, support, and guidance during your journey. It is based on neuroplasticity. Play Attention is a combination of NASA-inspired technology with executive function training, comprehensive neurotechnology training, and a nurturing support team. Play Attention has provided guidance and success across the globe for over 27 years. Join the Play Attention family and begin your journey to success. Together, we'll guide you to overcome your obstacles, harness the power of your mind, and change your challenges into superpowers.